Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All day today, 12 voices in 12 hours. A comprehensive look at the pros and cons of legalizing marijuana in New York State. News Radio 930 WBEN.
I'm Tom Puckett. Good afternoon. It is 2 o'clock here and another hour in 12 voices in 12 hours, focusing on the legalization of marijuana in New York. My guest this hour is Jody Altman with Kids Escaping Drugs. Jody, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Jody, you have been a staunch voice against the legalization of marijuana. Please tell us why.
Well, the position that we take on the campus is we are against it because we are a campus that serves kids ages 12 to 20. And our whole thought process is all of our kids on campus have started with marijuana and are there for more than just marijuana. They're there for alcohol, they're there for the opiates, for heroin, for whatever else they can get their hands on. So that's a piece of why we say we're against it. The other piece is that adolescent brains don't develop until they're 24, 25 years old. So why would we advocate to put a substance in a brain that's not developed and could cause permanent damage?
What does marijuana do, marijuana usage do to an adolescent?
It affects people in different ways. What we see with our kids is it makes them very, I don't want to use the word lazy, but to the point that what was interesting before is not interesting now. So they don't have the energy, they don't have the drive to do what they need to do. Now that could be going to school, that could be keeping a job, that could be getting along with friends or with family. It just takes away their personality is the best way I can put it.
And when it comes to the marijuana use, how the patients that they have on the campus, what's the range of marijuana usage that led them to where they are?
I mean, it's different for each of our kids. You know, these kids, we have kids that have been smoking marijuana since they're 8 or 9 years old. Now, they got it at home, they got it in school, they got it from a friend. However they got it, they got it. And they've continued. When they start, they don't smoke a lot. I have kids now smoking all day, every day. You know, so they're not going to school, they're not working. They're not getting along at home. They're not doing what we think kids, teenagers should be doing. So obviously that's a problem. You know, if they're smoking all day, every day, or if they're smoking every day, they're neglecting things. And to me, that's a problem.
How easy is it for a child, an adolescent, a teenager to get marijuana?
Just as easy as it would be for you or I. So for the kids, they can go to school. They can go to their job. Sometimes it's at home. Sometimes it's in the neighborhood. Any one of us can get marijuana very quickly.
And how easy is it to become addicted once you take that first toke?
Again, it depends on the individual. What I can tell you is the marijuana that they're smoking now is not the marijuana 30 years ago. You know, there's a lot of substances, including fentanyl, being put into marijuana these days, and that kicks in the addiction very quickly. So we don't know sometimes exactly what they're smoking.
Jody Altman of Kids Escaping Drugs is with us on 12 Voices in 12 Hours. We're discussing marijuana. How much lobbying or letter writing have you made to state lawmakers to convince them to not legalize marijuana in New York State?
As a campus, we've taken the stand. Are we lobbying? No. But the treatment community here, I think a lot of us are on the same page that we think it will just open up a whole other can of worms, and we have enough on our hands and on our plates right now with the opiate epidemic. But you know, we've not done any lobbying, but we've said the same thing every time, and we're against it.
How much easier do you think it will be to access marijuana if this becomes legalized in New York?
It's already easy, so it will make it that much easier. I think, you know, especially if they're going to allow some of the things that we've heard is they're going to allow people to grow a certain amount of plants. So it can't be any easier than if you're growing it in your backyard. So I think it's just going to make it that much easier. And then where do we stop? You know, what about the next drug that comes along? Do we then make that legal?
And when it comes to the marijuana usage, that if it's legalized, kids will have easier access to this. How much more could they smoke? How much more could this affect their bodies? I know you said earlier it goes from person to person, but in general aspects, how could this make things worse?
I think it's going to make a bad situation worse. It's going to make them lose that much more energy. It's going to make them not care about the things that are important to them even more. And now we have no leg to stand on because it's legal. Now they're talking about it would be a 21 and over legal. Whether or not that's going to happen, you know, if it's, let's put it this way, it's probably going to happen, and we would say make it 25 and over so that their brains are formed.
Jody Altman of Kids Escaping Drugs is our guest here in this hour of 12 Voices in 12 Hours. The topic of marijuana, whether it should be legalized in New York. You mentioned allowing access to 25 and older for marijuana use. How do you put that argument when alcohol is at 21 and the legal age for tobacco is 18?
It's a tough argument to make. What I would say is none of that is legal for kids. What I would say is it affects the kids' brain development. All of that should be put to 25. But if we're talking about legalizing marijuana, the stand of the campus is we're against it. But we believe if it's going to happen, it should be once those kids' brains are formed.
And Jody, the marijuana that brought the kids to your campus, Kids Escaping Drugs, how much of a gateway drug has marijuana been toward harder, stronger drugs?
I can tell you every kid on our campus will identify it as a gateway drug. Some are there solely for their marijuana use, not many. But I can tell you every kid on our campus will tell you they started with marijuana, nicotine, and alcohol. And now they're in a campus where they're living for 4 to 6 months because their addiction has gotten so out of control. So to me, that's a gateway. A lot of people don't believe in that, but I have the proof.
We have some questions that coming from our text board. We'll go to those across. And if you have a question that you'd like to share with us, please text that with us on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board at 30930. And you talked earlier about today's marijuana not being the same as it was 30 years ago. How likely do you see fentanyl in today's marijuana compared to 30 years ago?
Well, 30 years ago, I'm not sure we saw fentanyl in a whole lot of anything illegally. Now we see it. And we know that this opiate epidemic that we have and what's been killing people is fentanyl. So now we have marijuana where the dealers are putting fentanyl in it because you become addicted quicker. So if I become addicted quicker, I want to buy more. So it's this vicious cycle.
And how difficult is it to wean these kids off marijuana once they're hooked when they come to your campus?
Listen, marijuana stays in your system maybe 28, 30 days. So it's a difficult first month of treatment for kids, you know, for that to come out of their system and the toxins to come out of their system and their brains to settle down and their minds to settle down. So, you know, if we're going to lose a kid to treatment, it's going to be in that first 30 days because they want to go get high. Because they don't like how they feel when they're not high, and when the drug's coming out of their system, they don't like that.
Obviously, the withdrawal symptoms come into play here.
I think it's definitely psychological withdrawal with the marijuana. I mean, you're not going to see withdrawal like you would see with opiates where it's all that physical. But for the kids, it's, I don't like the way I feel. My brain's starting to clear out, which I didn't like in the first place, which is why I used. And so it's this cycle again.
Jody Altman of Kids Escaping Drugs is our guest here on WBEN's 12 Voices in 12 Hours. And we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with more with Jody Altman. Tom Puckett with you on 12 Voices in 12 Hours this hour. My guest, Jody Altman with Kids Escaping Drugs. We'll get back to the conversation in a moment, but I do want to remind those of you in the Cheektowaga area, you may be without power. You've been texting us that as well. NYSEG reports more than 10,000 NYSEG customers in Cheektowaga. We're talking Walden Galleria area, Union, Walden, Dingin's. They are without power. Last check, 96 website says that restoration will happen around 3:30 this afternoon. Jody, we have a question from one of our texters on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board at 30930, asking, so instead of taking away the substance, why don't you address the emotional problems that lead to addiction? So what emotional problems could lead to addiction to drugs like marijuana, opioids, along those lines?
You know, there's a reason that people start to use substances. Nobody wakes up one day and says, I want to be a drug addict or I want to be an alcoholic. They wake up and they say, I don't like the way that I feel. And somebody says, this substance will change the way I feel. And then the addiction process starts. So that's what treatment's about. Once we take the substance out of their system, we do address the reason that they're using in the first place. And it's oftentimes trauma, especially for our kids. The trauma that these kids at 15 and 16 years old have had to endure is not something I could do at my age. And they survive it, but they use the chemicals so that they don't have to feel it. So to that person that texted in, that's exactly what treatment does.
What are some of the traumas that your patients have gone through that led them to addiction?
They could be witnesses to domestic violence. They could be victims of domestic violence. There's all sorts of abuse that goes on for these kids. You would be surprised outside of our little world what people do and what our kids have seen. There's a lot of human trafficking that goes on. You know, goes hand in hand with the opiate epidemic. So imagine a 15-year-old having to deal with that every single day when they could take something that they think will make them feel better. So when that drug comes out of their system, they're left with the trauma and all the feelings associated, and that's exactly what we work with them on.
And Jody, let's presume that for a moment that the state does legalize marijuana. Distribution of this marijuana takes place where you can go get this. How important is it in your mind that this be restricted to limited locations, limited amounts along those lines?
I think somebody talked about the Wild Wild West. And I think if and when this happens, I think we absolutely have to have very strong parameters around it. Otherwise, it will be the Wild West out here. If you can go anywhere to get it. I mean, people tell me now that's what they're doing because medical marijuana is so expensive that they're going and buying marijuana off the street. So if we don't have limits and we don't have parameters, you're going to see a lot of that.
And when it comes to the current medical marijuana that's legal now, how easy is it for someone who is an addict to, you know, sneak into somebody's medical marijuana stash and take some of that?
It's just as easy as any other pill in your house or any other medication in your house. And we always say, lock your medications up. If you don't lock them up, somebody will get at them or has the option to get at them. So it's just as easy.
My guest this hour on 12 Voices in 12 Hours is Jody Altman. She is with Kids Escaping Drugs. We are discussing the pros and cons of legalizing marijuana in New York State. And for those just joining us, please tell us what you have a very strong opposition to the legalization of marijuana. For those just joining us, please tell us why you are opposed to it.
So Kids Escaping Drugs Renaissance Campus is, as it stands right now, a 62-bed residential campus for kids ages 12 to 20 with substance use disorder. In addition, we also treat mental health. Our kids come to that campus because they're at the end of their, kind of at the end of the line of their addiction in terms of help. They've had multiple attempts at treatment before, and they come live with us on our campus for 4 to 6 months. Every kid that comes on that campus has used marijuana, has abused marijuana. We believe it's part of where their addiction started. For some, it stayed right with marijuana. For some, it continued on to opiates and heroin. So as a campus, our stand is that we believe legalizing marijuana is not okay. Adolescent brains don't develop till they're 25. We believe that allowing them, even at 21 years old, to be able to smoke marijuana freely is not healthy for them.
How fearful are you that if marijuana is legalized in New York, down the road other drugs could become legalized and regulated by New York State?
I think being the cynic that I've turned into, I absolutely am fearful of that. I think, you know, we saw that with alcohol, you know, when we went through prohibition and then we legalized that. And now we're talking about legalizing marijuana. And then 10 years down the line, we're going to find out that something else can treat something and we're going to try to make that legal. I think we open up a can of worms. And quite frankly, we're doing it for money. We're not cognizant of the lives that it's going to affect.
Governor Cuomo has said that the pros outweigh the cons. What are some of the cons that you think outweigh the pros, the money?
I think the cons, again, my frame of reference is adolescence. The cons for me are their brains are not developed. And why would we put some kind of a toxic chemical in their brains when they're not developed? That's a huge con for me. That's what I believe in. That's what we believe in on the campus. Another con is that I've got a treatment campus of kids that will tell you they started using marijuana and now they're in long-term treatment. I think any provider is going to tell you that. You know, we see people in treatment for marijuana. That's a problem. That's a problem.
And this may have been brought up earlier, but a texter, 30930 on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board says, how many children are at Kids Escaping Drugs for marijuana?
Well, every one of them. Every one of them. Some just for marijuana and some for other drug use in addition to marijuana. But I will tell you, every kid on that campus has abused marijuana.
So for your clients, for the young students at your campus, it starts seemingly innocent enough with marijuana, and then it just goes on to other harder, more potentially lethal drugs.
Exactly. And we see where that epidemic has led. You know, it's not just the adults. It's also the kids that have gotten into the opiate epidemic, beginning with marijuana, thinking it was okay because it's a plant and because it's going to be legal anyways, which is what we hear constantly from our kids. As a result, we're now in an opiate epidemic.
Do you fear that you may have more demand down the road for beds at Kids Escaping Drugs and Renaissance House for marijuana addiction treatment once it becomes legalized in New York?
I think so. I think that is potentially a problem because people are going to get involved with marijuana, get addicted to marijuana, I think, in a quicker way when they realize that they can't get in trouble for using it. So I think that is going to cause a problem down the line. I can't definitely predict, but I would think it would be a problem.
All right. I know that we're running in close to the bottom of the hour news break with Brendan Keeney. I don't want to get into another question right now because we may not have enough time to fairly go through that. So I'm going to put that on hold. My guest is Jody Altman. She is with Kids Escaping Drugs, the Renaissance Campus on Harlem Road in West Seneca. And for those of you who do have questions on this topic, you can send those topics, text those topics to 30930 on our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, and we'll be going over some of the questions that you are sending us, and we'll ask Jody those questions as well here on WBEN. But right now, we are going to get set to get you updated on the latest news and the latest on that power outage in Cheektowaga. 10,000 NYSE customers at last report. WBEN's Brendan Keeney is standing by in the WBEN newsroom, and we will join him in a matter of seconds. You're listening to 12 Voices in 12 Hours, a discussion on the legalization of marijuana in New York State, and you're listening live to News Radio 9.
WBEN.
Tom Puckett with you on 12 Voices in 12 Hours here on WBEN 234 here on Monday. For those of you who are looking to hear the last half hour of Rush Limbaugh's program today, please go to WBEN.com, click on the link at the top of our homepage, and we have an update on the power outages in Cheektowaga. It's a good one. We're back down to about 6,000 customers, down from 10,000 about a half hour ago. And back to the topic of legalizing marijuana, my guest is Jody Altman. Jody is with Kids Escaping Drugs, the Renaissance House in West Seneca. And one person that came up with a question here from our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board at 30930 during the break. Street pot is not the same as pure clean pot, and pot could create jobs. Your argument against that?
Street pot is not. Okay. My point was there is very little pure clean pot out there nowadays, and I have a campus that can tell you that. There's so many chemicals put in there to get you addicted, to keep you coming back to the dealer spending your money. I'm not sure what jobs it's going to create, but again, we're talking about jobs, we're talking about money, we're not talking about any kind of regard for human life. And the fact that, yeah, it may create jobs, however people think it's going to create jobs, but what about the people that have jobs that are going to smoke marijuana and not be able to function in their jobs? So that argument doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Okay, in fairness, I saw the second half just pop up. Pot isn't just for smoking, says this texter. It can be made to create rope, clothing, perfume, soaps, etc. So your response to that, as far as creating those types of jobs?
Oh. Well, I guess if we were using it just for that reason, maybe I could put my arms around it, but we know we're not. And we know we're not talking about jobs to create soap and all of that. We're talking about marijuana to get high on, to change the way that we feel. So I can't okay that.
All right. Another question that just came up, and I think we brought about this as far as restrictions earlier. If recreational marijuana is legalized, will it be regulated in childproof packages and a state ID showing that a person is 21 or older to purchase, much like alcohol?
The conversations that I've heard, and I've just gone to a listening session, that was proposed, that they are in regulated, childproof packages, that it's 21 and over. We're asking for it to be 25 and over. Obviously, I don't know. They haven't firmed anything up yet. I know they're trying to take it, like, out of, not out of gummies, but, you know, they don't want the edibles. You know, because to get the edibles is very easy, and it looks like I'm eating a brownie, or it looks like I'm eating gummies, or, you know, whatever they choose to put it in. So the regulations have to come from the state, and I'm not sure what they are yet. I don't think the state is sure yet. The state is very focused on the financial gain of all of this. And again, and I'll say it for my whole time here, we're not looking at human life and the cost to human life. Not that people are dying from it, but there's a cost involved, and we're not really focusing on that.
How much revenue could be countered by healthcare for marijuana addiction or marijuana usage that could lead to accidents on the job, accidents on the road that could lead to people being hospitalized?
Well, exactly. And who's going to pay for that? Are we going to take this money that we make off of the marijuana, and are we going to put it into healthcare? And are we going to help these people? Are we going to, you know, build more treatment, expand treatment beds? I'd have to say no, we're not. You know, unless you show me in writing that we're going to, you know, give X amount of dollars, where is that money going to go? It's going to go to something totally unrelated. And like you say, people that get in on-the-job accidents and can't work because of their addiction, we're just not going to help them.
Jody Altman is my guest this hour on 12 Voices in 12 Hours here on WBEN. She's with Kids Escaping Drugs. Next hour, political activist Larry Sharp will be in studio. And we're talking about the change of the legality of marijuana usage. Another text just asked a question. What would this do to recovering addicts who struggle to kick the habit of marijuana if marijuana becomes legalized?
Well, exactly. You know, I mean, listen, if somebody wants to go get a drug, they can go get a drug, whether it's marijuana, whether it's alcohol, whether it's opiates. If somebody wants to go get that, they'll find that. For people in recovery, it's a daily struggle to stay sober. We may not see that, but for people in recovery, they have to live that every single day. If something is legal, in the mind of someone who's thinking about using, they'll talk themselves into the fact that it's legal. And that will start the whole addiction process right back up again. It doesn't start over. It just picks up where it left off. So why would we make something legal that we know has caused problems?
All right. And if you have a question, we've been getting a couple of the questions here from our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. If you do have a question, please send that to 30930. Jody deals with young people who are struggling with addiction. They're getting treatment at Kids Escaping Drugs in the Renaissance House on Harlem Road in West Seneca. And Jody, how difficult does the job become with marijuana addicts who are getting treatment now, hearing about all this talk about the possibility of marijuana being legalized in New York and the possibility, oh, wait, I could be cured? I know. Maybe that's the right term.
Well, they don't say that they don't say that they're going to be cured, but you hear the argument, it's going to be legal. It's going to be legal. So, you know, what are we going to do about that? It probably is going to be legal. It's not going to be legal for my 15-year-old kids that use it in treatment, but it is going to be legal for at least 21 and up at some point. It's just another argument, just like we had to do with alcohol with the whole prohibition thing. We had to argue you know, what was good about it. And we have to argue that about marijuana, what the reason is, why, you know, why it should be good for the kids. I know as a campus, we're not going to do that. We don't believe it. And so we're not going to, just because it becomes legal and a moneymaker, we're not going to sit there and say it's okay. It's not acceptable to us.
And I imagine that argument, marijuana is going to become legal soon. That's got to make the job of the counselors a little more challenging.
Let me tell you, to be a counselor sometimes is the most rewarding, most of the time, the most rewarding job you could ever have. But sometimes it's very, very difficult. We have parents, and I have had parents say to me on the phone, they're just using marijuana. Not my words, but a parent's words of their 14-year-old. We hear that all the time. My kid isn't using opiates. My kid's not an addict. My kid's not, you know, a junkie. They're not putting a needle in their arm. So we already have that mindset that we deal with now, and it's not even legal. Can you imagine down the road what we're going to have to deal with when mom and dad say, well, it's okay for you to smoke pot at 14. It's legal.
The person mentioning here on the text board, I think this is a good point. Just because it's legal doesn't mean your employer will tolerate smoking marijuana before or on the job, just like alcohol. That's legal, but that doesn't mean you can drink on the job. Is that something that counselors are reminding the patients at Renaissance House and Kids Escaping Drugs as they continue their treatment, as they graduate from the treatment?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of what we do with our kids is prepare them to live in the real world. And we're getting ready to open up two different levels of care, one of which really focuses on job skills and education and living in the real world. And we talk to the kids all the time about, you're going to go to an employer someday and they're not going to tolerate this. Now, how much sinks in, who knows? But we definitely do that.
Jody Altman is my guest here on WBEN's 12 Voices in 12 Hours. We are discussing the pros and the cons of the legalization of marijuana here in New York State. Larry Sharp will be next in studio with Bowerly and Bellavia at 3 o'clock. We'll be joined by Laszlo Mechler of Dent at 4 p.m. And U.S. Attorney J.P. Kennedy will wrap things up at 5 o'clock here on WBEN. And one texter, Jody, is asking, what about the responsible adults that could use marijuana as all forms of relief? The medical marijuana issue. How do you separate that from the counseling that you have at Renaissance House?
Well, I don't think we're talking about medical marijuana. I mean, medical marijuana, there's obviously purposes for it. There's research to prove in some cases that it's beneficial. We're not talking about medical. We're talking about marijuana that I or you can go home and grow in your backyard. We're talking about marijuana we can go buy on the street. And what this is going to do, even if people are being allowed to sell marijuana, they're going to be certain people. You know, they're going to have guidelines. But what do you think that's going to do to the people who sell it now illegally? Do you think they're going to go away? No, they're just going to go more underground. They're going to make it cheaper and more addictive for people to come buy it from them. And that's, in my opinion, what's going to happen. But we're not talking about medical. I mean, the campus, we understand the medical piece of it. We're talking about regular marijuana.
The recreational use.
Correct.
All right. One final segment with Jody Altman of Kids Escaping Drugs. But first, we're going to take a break here. This is 12 Voices in 12 Hours on News Radio 930 WBEN.
All day today, 12 Voices in 12 Hours. A comprehensive look at the pros and cons of legalizing marijuana in New York State. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Tom Puckett with you on WBEN, 12 Voices in 12 Hours. This is hour number 9, and my guest this hour is Jody Altman with Kids Escaping Drugs, Renaissance House on Harlem Road in West Seneca. And Jody, you and I were talking during the break about the distinguishing the difference between recreational marijuana and medical marijuana use. How difficult will it be for employers like yourself to separate those working for you who smoke marijuana recreationally compared to those who use marijuana for medicinal purposes?
Well, medical marijuana, if you're prescribed it, you have a card. So you can easily produce that card to your employer and say, here, and I am prescribed it, and then it's a done deal. If you can't, as an employer, if you can't show me that card, I'm not sure what we do. And I think, you know, we're so quick to want to make recreational marijuana legal because of the money behind it. But what are employers going to do? And as an employer, I'm not sure what our policy would be. We treat people who are addicted to alcohol and drugs. How can I have someone who's smoking marijuana talk to a 15-year-old about you can't smoke marijuana and this is why? So, and I'm not the only employer that's going to have to struggle with that. I think companies are going to have to figure out what their stance is on it.
How difficult do you think it'll be for employers to adjust the drug policies for marijuana if recreational marijuana use becomes legalized in New York State?
Well, I think it's going to be very difficult, and I'm sure there's going to be laws or policies set forth by the state on, you know, what employers can and can't do. But the problem is we also follow some federal laws as employers, and this is not a federal issue. This is a state issue. So I'm not sure if there's going to be any kind of a conflict between what the feds say and what the state says in terms of employees.
And if I'm not mistaken, marijuana use is still outlawed federally.
Correct. So that's where I see there could be some problems when you have federal employment laws and state employment laws. And if they say two different things, then what do we do?
How likely do you think that on a federal level, recreational marijuana use may eventually be legalized? And how much do you fear that?
I don't know. I think certainly it's a potential. I'm not hearing that the feds are looking to do that right now, but I'm probably not the right one to ask that. I'm more, you know, concerned about what the state's going to do. But anytime we legalize something that we know does damage concerns me.
Jody Altman is with us from Kids Escaping Drugs, and we are wrapping up this hour of 12 Voices, 12 Hours, discussing medical marijuana and the recreational use of marijuana. We've talked about the comparisons between that and medical marijuana. And I think earlier we touched upon your patients going into the real world, going out for these jobs, and they may see, oh, I could be okay if I smoke marijuana recreationally and for the job testing, drug testing for a job, because, oh, it's legal now and it doesn't matter. And maybe potential employees may be confused as well, I would imagine.
I think employees are going to be confused. I think our kids are confused. And I think it's something that we're going to have to figure out before this all takes effect.
Jody, is that something that we're going to have more debate on before lawmakers in Albany decide to make any vote whatsoever to legalize the use of marijuana recreationally in New York?
Well, I hope we would have conversation about this, and I hope the lawmakers would see beyond the money involved and to help us with these laws.
We're wrapping up this hour with Jody Altman of Kids Escaping Drugs. That's the Renaissance House on Harlem Road in West Seneca. And Jody, how much more conversation in general do you think is needed before the vote takes place? How much of a time frame of the conversation do you think we'll need before any vote takes place on legalizing recreational marijuana? I imagine we have until at least the first of the year because of the elections and the unlikelihood of a lame duck session in Albany.
You know, my understanding was this wasn't even going to go into effect probably until 2020. Mm-hmm. My opinion, the longer we keep talking about it, the longer we stall it from happening. Look, it's probably inevitable because what we see in the state is money. And it's probably inevitable. I just think if we're going to do it, we need to do it the right way.
And doing it the right way, what would be some of the methods that you believe would be doing this the right way, the legalization of recreational marijuana in New York, doing it the right way?
Well, having the laws. Having the policies for employers, making it a 25 and over law, not a 21 and over law. The regulations need to be put into place. Otherwise, it is going to be the Wild West. And that's my biggest fear, is that we're so, as a state, so in tune to other states, made all this money, that's what we want to do. And we're just, again, not considering human life involved in all of this. And again, it's not going to kill them smoking marijuana, but it takes a toll on human life. And I think when we see dollar signs, we don't necessarily pay attention to that.
I think I may have brought this up with you at the very beginning of the hour, but for those who've just joined us, how often have you had a chance to sit down with lawmakers about such topics as the 25 and older, the clarification of employee-employer drug testing, drug policies along those lines?
New York State has listening sessions around the state, and they just had one here. So we were able to go and we were able to listen. And it was anybody could speak. And it was way more, in my opinion, what we listened to pro-legalization. But the treatment types, like myself, like our campus, see it differently. And I believe Dr. Burstein from the health department was talking about being over 25, you know, being an over 25 law, the childproof packages. I mean, those are the regulations, I think, that we believe need to be put in place for something that, quite frankly, I think the decision's already been made.
You're fearful that those decisions have been made and those won't take effect.
I am. I think, you know, I think the decision's been made. You've heard the governor say that the pros outweigh the cons. I'm not sure what pros or cons he's looking at, other than money. And so I think the decision has been made. Now it's a formality to appear to listen to people and appear to want their opinion, even though the decision has been made. So I'm concerned that the laws and the policies won't get put into place when this becomes a reality.
And that will obviously ultimately take a toll not just on the people who smoke marijuana, the people who live with those who smoke marijuana, but the people who are trying to get treatment, trying to get themselves sober, and people like you who are trying to help them get sober.
Exactly. I mean, it's very hard to say to somebody, you shouldn't smoke marijuana because A, B, C, and D, when somebody else is saying marijuana is legal. So it's just going to be that constant push-pull that as counselors and treatment providers, we experience that anyways. This is just going to intensify that.
And one more text board question here, Jody. Money aside, we live in a democracy, says this person. If the people want it, shouldn't it just be legalized because of public demand? Is public demand enough, in your opinion, to have something like recreational marijuana use be legalized in New York?
In my opinion, no. I can make the argument then, well, if there's public demand for opiates, why shouldn't we say it's legal to be taking pills that don't belong to us, or it's legal to shoot heroin? I can argue the same thing. I'm coming from a treatment provider perspective, and I have seen marijuana cost people their life. Not necessarily die, but cost them the things and the people that are important in their life. So I'm not, and we on the campus are not going to get behind this, and we will not support it.
And I think we brought this up earlier about the why 25, the development of body of adolescent bodies, the use of medical marijuana or recreational marijuana, excuse me, at that age, what damage can it be done to an adolescent, for those who may be just joining us?
Adolescent brains don't develop until they're 25 years old. So if you're going to take this substance and you're going to put it into a brain that's still developing, it can have effects on these brains. It can cause problems on these kids, in these kids' brains that will lead to problems in their life. That's why we're saying if you're going to make it legal, do it for over 25.
And Jody, the Kids Escaping Drugs campus, Renaissance House on Harlem Road, how many calls do you get per day, per week, per month from parents saying, you know, their child's been using recreational marijuana and they need help?
Every call we get involves marijuana, mm-hmm. and it may involve other drugs. We also have on our website, we have an Ask the Counselor, where somebody can email in a question, and I respond to those, and most of them have to do with my child is using marijuana and the behaviors that follow. So I can, with 100% certainty, say every kid on our campus is involved with marijuana.
And that marijuana has led to other serious drugs, and that is probably one of the reasons why you're opposed to it.
Exactly. It's led to cocaine, it's led to opiates, it's led to heroin. That's exactly why we're opposed to it. People don't believe in this theory of a gateway drug. We believe in it because we see it with these young kids. When you have kids telling you that they started using at 7, 8, and 9 years old smoking marijuana, think about that. Think about their brain. Think about their bodies. They're not developed. Now fast forward, and I'm getting them at 16 or 17, and they're shooting heroin every day, in addition to the marijuana and everything else that they're using. And you tell me that's not a gateway, I can argue that it is.
All right. Jody Altman with Kids Escaping Drugs Renaissance House in West Seneca, thank you so much for joining us this hour here on 12 Voices, 12 Hours here on WBEN.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. All right. Coming up after the news with Brendan Keeney here on WBEN, political activist Larry Sharp. And then at 4 o'clock, Laszlo Mechler of Dent Neurologic Institute. And at 5 o'clock, U.S. Attorney J.P. Kennedy will be in studio with Bowerly and Bellavia as we continue the conversation on whether recreational marijuana use should be legal in New York State. After this word, we'll have the news with Brendan Keeney on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Do you know?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.